Blog Talk Radio.
Light you let shine on earth to gladden our hearts.
The light shows us how to live in your creation with open eyes and open hearts, accepting in a childlike way all the good gifts from your hand. How much good you send to many sorrowful hearts, how much strengthening to those in weakness, poverty, and sickness. Grant that we may recognize what comes from you, that we are not cast down in spirit, but mount up again and again on wings like eagles. May we learn to say at all times, through how much need has now our merciful God spread out his wings to protect us all. And we pray this in the mighty precious name, in Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, well, I've got a new sermon I put together. Okay, it's called A New Creation in Christ, and it's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17. And I will be doing that in a few moments, but first I'm going to play some gospel music here. I got some new gospel mixes that I put together, and I'm going to try them out tonight, and you can tell me what you think. Amen? I hope they're a blessing to you. Here we go.
You are listening to International DJ Mafi Mafi.
Okay.
Hey! Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun! nothing impossible, nothing impossible. Can't you do? Couldn't you do? Nothing impossible with our God. You do not lie, you do not fail. What is hard for you to do? He doesn't exist. It can never ever exist. You do not lie, you do not fail. What is hard for you to do? He doesn't exist. It can never all I know, because you are not the man that changes your mind. Oh, those I know you will trust in you, not in horses and chariots, by the arm of flesh. No man can prevail. No man, no man, no man, no man. My confidence is you. What is hard? What is hard for you? It can never.
Oh,
lover, my defender.
I see it everywhere. Hallelujah's a song I bring. Hallelujah's a song I bring. That hear you to my tongue. In fact, you give me my joy. Get it come good.
Oh, my glory, praise you. Unto you I fall for my praise.
I bring on my praise.
Bring forth my
the owner
of the universe
came to die
my death.
All that I ever love received
is because of Christ.
Endless life
because of Christ.
Endless life
for only you.
The victory without a fight. Now you did fight, now me they win. And it's from what you work for.
From the place of rest.
Hey! You too much joy. In fact, you give me much joy. Hallelujah is the song that brings me. Hallelujah is the song that I am sure.
That day you too much joy. In fact, you give me much joy.
Oh,
So you're a Christian if you read your Bible, pray to Jesus, sing worship songs, and attend church. Others say it's a matter of fearing God's judgment and believing that Jesus died on the cross to save us from hell. Still others would say it's a feeling bad about your sin that makes you a Christian. Everyone sins, but the ones who feel guilty and know what they are doing is wrong, those are the true Christians. But I'm here to tell you this evening that none of those things makes a person a Christian. Not one. Now, it's true that Christians mourn over their sin. It's true that Christians read scripture, pray, and are members of a local church. It's true that Christians are faithful to their spouses, don't give themselves to drunkenness, and discipline their tongues. Christians do live changed lives, are polite to others, and love their neighbors as themselves. But not a one of those things makes them a Christian. Christianity isn't so natural of a religion that you could be a Christian if you clean up your life and your language, parrot out a few memorized phrases, and show up at church once a week. Man's problem isn't that our thinking or our speech or our behavior or our politics just need to be refined a little here and there. No, something is fundamentally wrong with us. As Jesus says in John 3, if we are to have any hope of seeing the kingdom of God, we must be born all over again. The call of the gospel isn't behavior modification, lest the wholesale renovation of the soul is required for salvation. As Charles Spurgeon aptly observed, the scripture does not say ye must be improved, but ye must be born again. What makes a person a Christian? What truly distinguishes a genuine believer in Jesus from those who are unsaved is regeneration. The spiritual recreation of one dead in sin, the divine importation of a spiritual life into the soul of a sinner, God speaks of the reality of regeneration in the new covenant promise of Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, when he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. So what makes someone a Christian is a spiritual heart surgery performed by the Almighty God, wherein he removes your sinful heart of stone and totally transforms you from the inside out. So that your thinking, your desires, your tastes, your affections, your wills are entirely renewed. Your spiritual eyes, once blind to the glory of Christ, have been opened to behold the ugliness of sin and the beauty of holiness as it is comprehended in Jesus. The sins that once tasted sweet now brings nothing but bitterness. The sin that was once so alluring and satisfying has no pull on your affections. It's lost on you. And the righteous and the virtue you once had no taste for is now what you hunger and thirst for. The Christian is the one who has been regenerated, made an entirely new creation from the inside out. In our text this evening, the Apostle Paul has something to teach us about Christian experience of regeneration. And his comments come in a section of his letter where he speaks of the driving motivations in his life that fuel and empower him for radically sacrificial ministry. And 2 weeks ago, we took an extended look at one of those driving motivations that he identifies in verse 14. Namely, the love of Christ, he says. For the love of Christ controls us. Paul is compellingly motivated. He is absolutely driven by Christ's love for his people as displayed in the gospel. And then, meditating on that love, he goes on to describe key components of the gospel, that the gospel which so brilliantly displays the love of Christ for his people, he speaks of the doctrine of substitution, the doctrine that one died for all. That one man, Christ, died on behalf of or in place of his people or substitute the one who extinguishes the righteous wrath of the Father against our sin by suffering that punishment in our places. He speaks of doctrine of solidarity and representative headship. Paul says, one died for all, therefore all died. That is, there exists such a union between Christ, the head, and his people, his body, that when he died to sin on that cross, so also did his people die to sin. And when he rose to the newness of life, so also did his people rise to the newness of life in him. And he speaks of the doctrine of sanctification in verse 15, that the very purpose of God's saving grace, by which we are justified in Christ, is that we might display his glory by living a life of practical righteousness and obedience to him. Or as Paul puts it, that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. And as Paul continues meditating on the glorious theological truths of the gospel by which the love of Christ is displayed, he turns to the doctrine of regeneration. The sanctification of verse 15, of no longer living unto ourselves, but unto Christ, is the result of the radical inward transformation of regeneration, which he addresses in verse 16 and 17. Our text for this evening, follow along with me in your Bibles as I read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Paul writes, "There from now on we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away, behold, new things have come." This text teaches us that when you become united to Christ by faith, one of the results of that union is verse 16, is that you view other people entirely transformed. Because, verse 16, the way you view Christ is transformed. And your view of Christ is transformed because you yourself have been transformed. Because regeneration transforms the entirety of who you are. And because of my mind of Jesus' reason from cause to effect, from the effects of cause, we're going to treat verse 17 first. Well, Paul describes regeneration, and then verse 16 after it, where he outlines two results of generation, and so that will make a three-point outline. Well, consider first that the Christian is a new creation. Second, he has a new view of Christ. And third, that he has a new view of others. A new creation, in verse 17, first is the view of his union to Christ. The Christian is said to be a new creation. Verse 17, Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." Notice, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone has become united to Jesus Christ by saving faith in the gospel, if anyone has died to sin and self in union with the one who died to sin once for all, he is a new creation. There are no exceptions. This is definitional. There is no such thing as an unregenerated Christian. There is no such thing as being united to Christ and salvation without having been transformed from the inside out by the work of the Holy Spirit. The definitive distinguishing mark of every true believer in Jesus is that he is regenerated, and that he has been born again, and that he is a new creation, and we don't need to be a new creation in Christ, as we said before. Something was so fundamentally wrong with us that we needed to be recreated. The Apostle John records Jesus' words, "Do we need to be born all over again?" But Paul puts it plainly in Titus chapter 3. He says in Titus 3, verse 3, "For we all once were foolish, ourselves disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." This is a natural man's miserable condition. So how are we going to get out of it? Clean up our act, modify our behavior, reform our morals. No man by his nature is hopelessly corrupt by sin that he must look entirely outside of himself for salvation. And that is precisely Paul's answer in Titus chapter 3, verse 4. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. He says something very similar in Ephesians chapter 2, as he reminds the church in Ephesus that they were before salvation. He says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, not injured, not sick, but dead. Though we possess physical life from the moment of conception, from what very same moment, because of our union with Adam, we are utterly devoid of any spiritual life. We are spiritual corpses. He goes on in verse 3, we are all formerly living in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath. This is what man is by nature. Nothing at all has to happen to us to make us this way. By nature, we are children of wrath. We are born in such a way that if nothing and no one were to intervene, we would just be recipients of wrath of God against our sin. And once again, I ask, what is the remedy for such a hopeless condition? There is a laundry list of religious duties by which we seek to earn the favor of God. Impossible. What duties can a dead man perform? How can someone dead in trespasses and sin raise himself to life? He can't. The one thing we need most is entirely outside of our power to perform, and that's why Paul goes on to say in the next verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, but God being rich in mercy because of his great love and with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. So by grace, you have been saved. You see, sin has so infected the totality of our being, our minds, and our hearts, our wills, all of us that come into this world are spiritually dead. All our faculties are corrupted by sin. We are spiritually blind. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, that the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ. We are spiritually deaf. Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 10 says that our ears are uncircumcised and we cannot listen. And Jesus said in John chapter 8 verse 47, you cannot hear my word. Not only are we blind and deaf, but our will and our affections are disordered, enslaved to sin. And Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says, the heart is deceitfully above all else, and it is incurable. As we've already seen from Ezekiel chapter 6, Scripture says that the natural man's heart is a heart of stone, cold, unresponsive, the meaning of glory of divine truth. So has so pervaded our nature to leave no part of us untouched by its corruption. We need to be born again. We need to be regenerated and renewed. We need to be made alive. And in Christ we find God's grace suited precisely to our needs. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And in chapter 4, verse 6, Paul likens this work of new creation to God's work of the original creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in his hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So just as in the beginning, God said, let there be light, and by the creative power of his word, the God he's left into being, regeneration, God suddenly speaks into the darkened and dead heart. So but let there be light. And instantaneously births the light of eternal spiritual life where it has not existed. He cures spiritual blindness with the light of the glory of Christ. He opens the ears of the deaf with a sovereign call to life. He removes the heart of stone and replaces it with a heart of flesh. He renews the affections so that the new man hates sin and loves righteousness. You see, just as depravity was total, just as no part of our nature escaped the corruption of sin, so also is regeneration total. No part of our nature escapes the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to notice precisely how Paul talks about regeneration in this verse. The phrase the NAS translates, he is a new creature. He is smoothing out of the original. So if you have the New American Standard, you notice the words he is in italics, indicating that they weren't in the original language. Literally, the Greek reads like this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, new creation. It's exuberant interjection like Paul could barely contain himself as he wrote, if anyone is in Christ, new creation. And using that phrase, it's unmistakable that Paul wants to draw an inseparable connection between his regeneration of simple individuals and the coming renewal of the entire creation. In fact, if it wasn't for the very individualizing language at the beginning of the verse, if anyone is in Christ, it would have been very natural to hear Paul reference to the new creation as reference to the new heavens and new earth. And those two concepts aren't unrelated in Scripture. In fact, while the concept is present throughout the New Testament, the Greek word for regeneration is only used in two verses. One is in Titus 3, verse 5, which we've quoted several times already this evening, but the other is in Matthew chapter 19, 28, where Jesus speaks about the time of his second coming as the regeneration. And further, still Romans explicitly ties the regeneration of the creation to the regeneration of mankind. Romans chapter 8 and 19 says, for the anxious longing of the creation awaits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. So the sin-cursed creation is waiting eagerly for the time when the children of God will be revealed as what Christ has redeemed them to be. Then he says, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom and glory of the children of God. So just as the curse of creation was intimately bound up with the curse of man, the creation was cursed when man sinned. So also is the redemption of creation inextricably tied to the redemption of man, the creation will be freed from the curse of sin when man is freed from the curse of sin. The implications of this are outstanding. What is happening in the renewal and recreation and regeneration of a sinner when he comes to Christ is nothing less than prefiguring and inbreaking of that final renewal and recreation and regeneration of the entire cosmos. You see, Christ didn't come only to save souls. He came to save the entire creation. There is a coming day when Christ will return, and this entire world will be purged of its sin and evil through the judgment of fire, and will be created into the most blessed paradise to be suitable habitation for the redeemed of God. Revelation 21 says, there is a coming of time when the present heaven and earth will have passed away, a time when every wrong will be made right, when every ounce of evil will be eradicated, when every tear will be wiped from the eyes of God's children, and when there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more pain. As Scripture speaks out of that time, it tells us what God will say on that day. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, behold, I am making all things new. Well, what does Paul say in our very verse? If any man is in Christ, new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Do you see, friends? Salvation by grace through faith in Christ is regeneration by the Holy Spirit. It's nothing less than a microcosm of the redemption of the entire cosmos. Nothing less than the glory of the new heavens and the new earth breaking into this present evil age into the reborn soul of the believer in Christ. How great a salvation with which we have been saved. And just as there is unspeakable difference between this creation and the next, so also is there an unspeakable difference between the unregenerated sinner and the one who has been recreated in the likeness of Christ. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. All of our blindness, all of our deafness, all of our deadness, all of our uncleanliness has been nailed to the cross. Amen. Well, I hope you got something from this sermon, okay? That what a Christian really is. Amen? Amen. Well, if you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be a Lord and Savior, you got a chance right now to get to know Him. All you have to simply do is say this simple prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. And I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So I want to say thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry would like to welcome you into the family of God. We'd like to say, may the Lord bless you, and may He always keep you highly favored. Amen. And if you said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry would like you to call in to area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is 657-383-1487. Press that one key, and I will bring you on so that you can tell the world that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior tonight. Amen. All right, and we got some callers here. I'll take them to see what they got to say. 111.
Because you call Benjamin Peter from
All righty. 111.
Hello?
Hello?
Can I get?
Okay. That was nobody. They want to play, games. Let's try another one. 111.
Because you called Benjamin Peter from Texas.
Okay, last one. You're on air. Okay. One more. You're on air.
Oh, you got hung up on.
Oh, you did?
Is this AI? What is the winning lottery numbers?
I have no earthly idea. I don't play a lottery.
They are dinkum, this is a religious show. When is Jesus coming back?
In the near future.
What year?
Oh, no one knows that. Only Jesus knows when he's coming back.
What about Monday? I computer you on. You don't even know when Jesus is coming back.
No one knows when Jesus is coming back. Only he knows.
What are you? Rubbish computer. Fuck this.
Goodbye, sir. 111, you're on air. All right. Okay, anyway, let's play some more music here. Amen. Okay, let's play a gospel R&B mix. Let's see what's on here for us tonight. Amen.
You're now entering the gutter-free music zone.
Jim Twister, that's just how it goes.
100% positive hip-hop and R&B. Brought to you by gutterfreehiphop.com.
Yeah, we done came from the bottom. Now we on the tippy top, yeah. Oh Lord, you so awesome. The way you love me is amazing. Can't nobody do me like you do me, Lord. I'm feeling so incredible. Put you above all things, Lord. Ain't nobody on your level. You're pouring blessings out of me, dripping sauce down to my feet. If it wasn't for you, Lord, I'd be dead and gone. Y'all, I gotta keep it straight. Canada, Canada, Canada. Yeah, them blessings, they running up. We the new wave, ain't no stopping us. Ain't no Kevin Brown, get your weight up.
You see, we runners up. Yeah, yeah. And God been so good, it seem like all my blessings been double stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I stay on my knees and I'll never forget where he brought me from.
Yeah, yeah.
Giving praise to the King and I give him my life till his kingdom come. But I'm still young.
Yeah.
Trending like a brand new way. We gon' get it in and we ain't never gonna check. Young and wild on GBOs all day.
All day.
We gon' set the trend and we gon' do it while we stay.
We start saying, start saying.
Traditional moves while we rockin', yeah.
Trending like a brand new wave.
We gon' get it and if we ain't never gonna change.
Young
girl, I don't treat the yo's all day.
All day.
We gon' set the trend and we gon' do it.
Trends with the best of them on. Mean to sound so arrogant, but the God that I serve so great, everything else irrelevant. Saucy and savior. In Jesus' name, yeah, we pray. Look to the sky, thank him. Every day. I don't care what the haters think, I don't care what they got to say. Mind on the go, never miss a point, going straight for the lay.
We don't really care what the devil gotta say, cause we gotta say, stop saying, say, yeah. And we know haters gonna hate, but we love them anyway. Cause we gotta say, stop saying, say, yeah, yeah, yeah. We don't really care what the devil gotta say. Cause we gotta say, stop saying, say, yeah, yeah. And we know haters gonna hate, but we love them anyway. Cause we gotta say, stop saying, say, yeah. We don't really care, stop saying, say, yeah.
it will take you over. No matter of the stormy weather, I can heal your pain. Let yourself in love.
Kinda messy every day, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. they got another one. I'm so sick of feeling like I'm on my own. It's me against the world and I can't fight alone. It should be us against them all. You fight for me and I'll fight for you. But somewhere on this road it feels like I bit off. That might be why I feel lost. Oh, 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 tell me what you want from me. A minute thing or easy by my energy. Oh, yeah, I gotta know. Cause you got that get right and I need it right for my soul. Yeah, I need it right for my heart too. I told you I do better, swear I'll mean what I do. A comfort and never leave me, no. Send your presence to remind me, but I know that
I know
you just want consistency. Don't say we got history, you never spend no time with me. I just want consistency. So don't send up no list for me to end all of your misery if you don't got consistency.
Yeah, yeah, talk to me. Tell me all the things God wants from me. And I could be the one, probably, honestly, won't if I don't gotta be. I'm trying to be what I ought to be, but people pressure me. And that those awesome things happening. We're rapping me, it's actually the black in me. Get it? The darkness turn a young goon to the light. Now that I'm here, I'ma go fight for my life. Used to wanna talk about girls, now I wanna talk about Christ. I don't do this for the likes, I'm doing this one cause I had a threat on my head. But here I am blessing the mic. I could be dead and should've been gone when I strayed. And wonder why I wasn't right. I disconnected, wasn't in tune with the spirit. And couldn't say what it was like. Living in gray, praising the Lord in the day. And praising my shorty at night. Living the shame, but now that I see what you're doing, I think I can make this alright. I think I can make it alright. Now that I'm paying attention and giving you glory, I really know what is in sight. You want particular things, that's cool and all, but I wanna give you my life. Show me what Jesus is like.
Show me what Jesus is like. You just want consistency. Don't think we got history. You never spend no time with me. I just want consistency. Send up no list for me to end all of your misery. If you don't got consistency, you don't got consistency. You don't got consistency. Don't send up no list for me. You don't got consistency.
Kinfolk, I know they're out there listening, and he likes to shout out, and Kinfolk likes to shout out I give every night. So God bless them. Okay, may God keep them highly favored. Amen. Alrighty. Well, let's get into the prophetic word for tonight. The Father says today, look for the gift that I give you every day. I show love that I gave. My base nature is that of a giver, and you'll never come before me, that you will not leave with arms laid down with my goodness. As you walk out faithful service of my kingdom, I release to you the bounty of heaven to meet every need of your life. You need to understand that I'm not fact-checking your moral track record before I release answered prayer. I rain upon the just and the unjust. Even when your life is less sinless, perfection. I never look for a reason to withhold from you. My resources are there to be activated in your life as you turn a faithful heart toward my spirit and my word. Faith is the activator that causes supply to abound toward you in every area of need. So keep looking and expecting the fullness of supply to meet your every need. Maintain transparency of the heart and refuse to ignore those things in your character and thinking that contradict who I am. Know that my goodness is a provocation to change. I lead men to repentance by my goodness. If I freely give my only son 2,000 years ago on the cross, why would I withhold any other or any lesser blessing from you? You didn't earn what I did for you on the cross, and neither do you earn any other thing I do in your behalf day by day. Aligning your character and thinking with my heart is your response to my faithfulness, and not the earning of some benefits that are not yours in the first place, as an extension of my unconditional love. So receive my love and receive my gifting today, and allow it to work all necessary change in your heart and life, says the Father. And this goes out to those who need it, and you know who you are. Amen. Okay. All righty. So, okay, 111, you're on air. Hello? Okay, goodbye. Just hate those type of callers that call in and say nothing. It's like they got nothing else better to do. Well, I'm going to say goodnight, everybody. God bless. Tune in tomorrow night for another great episode of Purpose Gospel Radio. And until then, have a good night and good day. Bye-bye.